I'd like to say welcome to everybody here today, as well as those who will hear this message later. We've all heard about various Bible codes, codes relating to the Bible. But in comparison to what you will hear today, those codes are both imaginative and insignificant. Even the prophet Daniel, who wrote about these times, the times that we live in today, did not understand what he wrote down. But from today, you can begin to understand Bible prophecy. I'll just turn to Daniel 12, verses 8 and 9, to read out what God says here to Daniel. Well, Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." So there are some things in the Bible that even the prophets who spoke the words did not understand. And Daniel was told that these things are sealed till the time of the end. The solution then to beginning to understand much of the Bible is simply this. God has organized the Bible so that information that it contains is scattered widely throughout its pages. Here a little and there a little. Only those who are prepared to humbly study or to listen and learn what the Bible itself reveals will come to understand God's plan for the whole of mankind. The code is broken by finding the related verses and bringing them together. In that way, prophecy then can reveal what will happen to our nation. And that's what we're dealing with today, the UK's awesome future, because the Bible code, by bringing the related verses together, has been broken. Now recently, one of our national newspapers printed two colourful boxes on its front page. One was packed with the colourful flags of all the nations of the world. And ranged against that box was the other almost empty box, in which were just three flags, those of Britain, America and Israel. And that, as you will see, is no coincidence. Most atlases include a map depicting the origins of the people of the British Isles. From the megalith builders of Stonehenge and the Beaker people of the Bronze Age, through to the Celts, the Vikings, the Angles and the Saxons, all of them came from across Europe or through the Mediterranean Sea. And if you trace the directional arrows back, those arrows on the map originate in what we call the Middle East today. So the question is, why did our ancestors travel from there to these islands? Why has one book so influenced our civilization? And why was the Christian church found here in Britain hundreds of years before the Roman Catholic Church even existed? Was all this prophesied in the Bible? And if so, what still lies ahead for our nation? Are we indeed, as a people, very special to the God of Abraham? Today, we'll begin to find the answers to these important questions in the Bible. About 600 years before Christ, God gave to Jeremiah, his prophet, a message for Israel. I'm going to read that out. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12. And God says there, "Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, Return, you backsliding Israel, says the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, says the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." You see, God had been angry. In fact, he'd allowed the nation of Israel, because of their behavior, to be taken away in slavery to the land of Assyria, south of the Black Sea, over 100 years before. Now, this message was a prophecy that God would bring Israel back to to the land of promise. And read that in Jeremiah 3 verses 14 and 15. Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now to this very day, Israel never returned. But that day is drawing nearer. We'll read verse 17. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations will be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, and neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Today the Jews, that is, the people of the tribe of Judah, which had been spared captivity in Assyria, live in the nation we call Israel. But the time is coming, according to the scriptures that we've just been reading, when the 10 northern tribes of Israel will be reunited with Judah in the land which God promised to Abraham. I'll read verse 18. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they will come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance to your fathers. The question is, where will they come from? We'll read Jeremiah 23 and verses 7 to 8. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord lives, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they will dwell in their own land. When will this be? Read verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, till he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Now, this phrase, in the latter days, is Bible code for the end of this age, when Jesus Christ is programmed, as it were, to return. Now, the Jews mostly returned since the nation, that because they did return, we realize that the people living in Israel today are the Jews, and they mostly returned to that nation when it was recreated in 1948. But the 10 northern tribes of Israel remain lost. Their identity is virtually unknown even to themselves, and today they're still widely scattered over the surface of the globe. The patriarch Jacob, whose name God changed to Israel, had 12 sons. Each one of them became a tribe in the ancient nation of Israel, which eventually became the kingdom of David. After David's son Solomon died, 10 tribes split away to form the nation of Israel to the north, leaving the Jews in the southern nation of Judah around Jerusalem. And today, the Jews are back there again. And God's word shows that in the last days, they will have their own troubles. I'm going to read out of the book of Zechariah, where there is a prophecy about Judah and the things that will take place for Judah today. So I'm reading Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2, 3, and 6. Behold, says God, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the people around about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And verse 6, in that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire amongst the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people around about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. That sounds a little familiar, I think. We've seen somewhat of those things recently in the wars that have taken place involving the Jews. But Jacob too is going to experience great trouble. In that day is, as we say, Bible code for the time at the end of this age when God will directly begin to intervene in world affairs. And so I'm going to read out Jeremiah 30 and verses 7 to 8. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble. So Jacob will have serious trouble in the latter days, or in that day, the very end of this era or age in which we live. The day is great, so that none is like it. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. For it will come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So strangers are going to do that to Jacob, to Israel. Jacob is going to find serious trouble comes upon him in the latter days or the end times. The question is, who is this Jacob? Well, the name Jacob continued to be used to describe the more important of the 10 tribes in Israel after the split took place, the split between the northern 10 tribes, which became Israel, and the other tribes which remained and were called Judah. Notice that King David is going to once again rule over this reunited Israel. I'm going to read verse 9 and 11. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So we're talking about the end of the age when Jesus Christ returns, and there is going to be a resurrection at that time, and David the king will be resurrected. It goes on, therefore fear you not, O my servant Jacob, or Israel as we know, says the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. It goes on to say, Jacob will return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you. As I say, it's a time of great trouble up ahead for the nation of Jacob, for the nation of Israel. Yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, and will not leave you altogether unpunished. So when is this going to take place to Israel? Well, it's at the very end of this age, at the return of Christ. We'll read that in verse 24. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. The question is, where are the lost 10 tribes today? Christianity is totally confused about Israel. Nowadays, most people think that the Jews are Israel, and the many prophecies about Israel in the Bible make no sense to them. And that's why the Old Testament is so neglected today, as of no relevance. They can't understand the prophecies that it contains because they don't know who Israel is. They think of Israel in terms of simply the Jews. But remember, Jacob is Israel. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And especially Jacob came to be known as the two chief tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. And although Israel has lost knowledge of its identity, at the end time it's going to be well known amongst the chief of the nations. And I'm going to turn to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and verse 31. And read verse 7 to 9. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 7 to 9. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout amongst the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth. And with them the blind and the lame, those who suffered in the battles to come, the woman with child, and her that travails with child together. A great company shall return thither. That's to the land of Israel, as it were, in the Middle East. They will come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am the father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. So who is this Ephraim that God is talking about here? Well, I'm going to turn to the book of Genesis to get that answer, and we'll find it in the book of Genesis, chapter 48. Genesis 48, I'll read first of all verse 1. And it came to pass after these days that one told Joseph, and this was Joseph, you know, of the coat of many colours, and he was in Egypt at the time. And he was told, Joseph, behold, your father is sick. So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And verse 2, and one told Jacob, and said, behold, your son Joseph comes to you. And Israel straightened himself and sat up on the bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, verse 3, and then dropped down to verse 5, and now your two sons Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto you in the land of Egypt before I came unto you in Egypt, are mine. Jacob was adopting Joseph's two sons as his own. As Reuben and Simeon, who were some of his own children, they shall be mine. And down in verse 17, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. Jacob was going to give a blessing to his grandchildren. It displeased Joseph that he put his hand on the wrong head. And it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your hand upon his head. But his father refused, verse 19, and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He shall become a people. He also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. That's interesting. Now, this prophecy about Ephraim becoming a multitude of nations was simply a continuation of the promise that God had given earlier to Jacob in Genesis 35. So we'll just turn back a few pages to Genesis 35. I want to read out verses 10 and 11. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of you, and kings shall come out of your loins. Ephraim, who was to become a company of nations, as we've just read, ended up amongst the 10 tribes who were taken captive to Assyria. But Ephraim left Assyria when it was conquered later by the Babylonians. I'm going to read Hosea 12, verse 1, and it begins like this. Hosea 12, verse 1. Ephraim feedeth on the wind and follows after the east wind. To follow the east wind is, of course, to move westwards. And this they did. When Babylon invaded Assyria and Israel was released from captivity, Israel and Ephraim, as one of its tribes, moved westwards. It followed the east wind. Where did it move then? It moved towards Europe. And God planted Ephraim and the rest of the 10 tribes in a place where they stayed. We'll read about that in 2 Samuel 7, verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. And neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. So that's interesting. We know that The 10 tribes were taken captive from Israel. They ended up in Assyria. Assyria was invaded, and then the 10 tribes migrated west towards Europe. And we can figure out where they ended up simply by turning to Isaiah 49. Turn over there to Isaiah chapter 49 now. Isaiah chapter 49, I'll read first of all verse 1. It's very interesting, this verse. It says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb," says Isaiah. "From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name." And down in verse 5, "And now says the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and God shall be my strength." And in verse 12, "Behold, these," talking of Israel, "shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim," which some believe is the land of Australia. "But most will come from the north and from the west." If you were to get out a map of the world and draw a line northwest from Jerusalem to find a major nation, because we obviously have heard that that's what Israel was to become, and especially Ephraim, a major nation which inhabits islands, is part of a company of nations, and is still ruled over by a direct descendant of Judah's King David, which land, I wonder, would we reach? Well, let's read Psalm 89, verses 35 to 37, to learn a little about this land. "Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It will be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven." As the sun and moon continue to be there in the heaven, so God promised would the throne of David continue in existence. And in Jeremiah 33 verse 17, God said this, "For this says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel." Interesting. Significantly, the Queen's royal standard is supported by the tribal symbol of Judah on one side, and that's the lion, and on the other side, the symbol of Ephraim, the unicorn, and that's on the royal standard. And underneath is the biblical motto, "God and my right," referring to the birthright promises that God made to the land of Israel, as well as to the promise of an eternal throne to David, because our Queen sits on that eternal throne. Yes, that's right. The Queen is a direct descendant of Judah's King David, and her royal line is very well documented back through Scotland's kings, Ireland's kings, and Judah's kings, right back to King David. God gave another of his prophets a message for Israel. But once again, at the time, that message went undelivered because Ezekiel was held captive in Babylon. However, Ezekiel wrote the message down. It became the book of Ezekiel in the Bible. And whether or not people will listen when it's finally delivered, they will eventually know that they were warned. I'm going to read Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. "And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel." As I say, Ezekiel never actually reached them, and so we receive his message today through his writing, through the book of Ezekiel. "I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that there has been a prophet amongst them." We Israelites, and especially Ephraim, because we are of the tribe of Ephraim, most of us in this land of Britain, have turned away from the true religion. We've turned away in favour of materialism, atheism, and false religions which are found in this land. And today, we are paying the penalties in our society. I think most of us recognise that. Not only in our society, but also in the world. Aside from the message, the warning to repent, which is found throughout the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel also had good news. We're going to read Ezekiel 37. Turn over there to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 and read verse 19. To 37, verse 19 for a start. Say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph. So this was the good news after the warning to Israel. I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel and his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and will make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. Verse 22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king to them all, and there will be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more, and neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, because there are many idolatrous religions in this land, nor with their detestable things. Some of us know what this is referring to. Nor with their transgressions or their sins, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And verse 27, my tabernacle shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they will be my people. So Israel is going to learn their lesson, and eventually they will become, we will become as a nation, Ephraim and amongst the other tribes of Israel, we will become clean enough for our Creator to dwell amongst us in the land, the Middle Eastern land of Israel on our return. Is that hard for us to follow, to accept? Is that hard for us to believe? The Bible tells us that Ephraim is stiff-necked. Describes as a stiff neck. And Judah is today arrogant and is often described so. But blessed are the meek, said Jesus Christ, and that means teachable, and especially from the Word of God. So most of the things that we're reading today, in fact all of them come directly from the Word of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them unto babes. That is, we're babes, we hopefully are teachable, just as a small child. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. God is not interested in the proud and the arrogant. He's interested in those who are prepared to humble themselves before his word. Now you can prove for yourself that God sifted Israel through many nations, including the nation of Media, Parthia, Scythia, Asia Minor, and the European nations, before finally bringing them to northwestern Europe and the islands off its shores. I'm going to turn to Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 9. And it says there, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel amongst all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, and yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. God said he would sift Israel through all these other nations, and yet not one least grain would be left behind, and they would eventually arrive in the islands off the shores, as we've read. Email me by all means for titles of well-documented books on this subject, or indeed, if you wish, you can write to the Ensign Trust, 25 Grange Drive, Euxton, that's Euxton, Chorley, Lancashire, PR76JE, to put your name on its mailing list for their magazine, which is called The Ensign Message. And it will provide you with abundant historical evidence that Britain and northwestern Europe is Israel. And the evidence is huge and very well documented. It's been accepted by very many eminent people. In that day, at the end of this age, as it were, this end of this era, just before Christ's return, Israel, or at Christ's return, Israel will be replanted in her original homeland in the Middle East. I'll continue on reading in Amos chapter 9. I'll read verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. So David would once again reign over a prosperous nation in the Middle East. And down in verse 13, we'll read through to verse 14. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that sows seed. That's marvellous. It means that the land of Israel is going to become so fruitful that its harvest will never cease. And the mountains will drop sweet wine, and all the hills will melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they will build the waste cities. Many of the cities of Israel will be waste in those days. They will have been destroyed. And they will inhabit them, and they will plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They will also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord their God. So in that day, Israel will be replanted, as we've heard, in the Middle East land, the Promised Land, as it is referred to. And the fact is that even though God allowed Israel to be punished, taken into captivity, etc., he's never abandoned his people. I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 24 onwards from the Living Bible. It says there, have you heard what people are saying? The Lord chose Judah and Israel and then abandoned them. They're sneering and saying that Israel is not worthy to be counted as a nation. But this is the Lord's reply, and this is the Living Bible, as I say. I would no more reject my people than I would change my laws of day and night, of earth and sky. I'll never abandon the descendants of Jacob or David, my servant, or change the plan that David's descendants will rule the descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Instead, I will restore them to their land and have mercy upon them. Jesus Christ is going to remain in heaven until certain things happen. Let's read that in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he will send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven will receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So that's interesting. Much understanding of God's word needs to be restored today. Many people have a Bible. It's probably found in virtually every house in this nation, and it lays there untouched, dusty, unopened. Incomprehensible. God's word is going to be expounded, it is going to be restored so that people will understand it, as well as what you've heard today already. And knowledge will be made plain about the coming kingdom of God. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 10 in the New Testament. We have no favourites about the Old or the New Testament here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. Matthew 10 and verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth, that's the 12 disciples, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Because most of the tribes of Israel had long departed, of course, from the Middle East. And as you go, as he said, as he gave these directions to his disciples, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The coming announcement of the imminent return of Jesus Christ to establish the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God here on this earth will actually be a very miraculous event, because it's going to be delivered to each individual living on the face of this earth in dreams and visions. I haven't time to explain that now, but if you go to our website, you can read the article Dreams and Visions, which will explain that a little bit further. But in Matthew chapter 24, turning over a few pages to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So this gospel will go out, and it will go out to every man, every woman, and every child on the face of this earth, and it will be delivered via dreams and visions. Ephraim, as a result, will not be godless forever. There's an interesting book in the Bible called the Book of Hosea. And that book, if you wish to read through the whole book, is essentially a message to our nation, to the nation of Israel. But in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee, we know you. Many will be inspired to come to know God and his word after they've received that message through dreams and visions, the warning and the message that Jesus Christ is going to return and God is going to set his kingdom up here on this earth. Many, however, are going to discount that message, so let me just drop down to Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12. This is what it says there. I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. That's true, because if we place a message, a religious message from the Bible in today's newspapers, people will say, this is a strange thing. We can't understand that. It doesn't seem to be right. It seems to be far-fetched. So many will discount the message as sounding rather strange, but everybody's going to hear it. Let's turn over to Hosea chapter 5 and verse 9. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Amongst the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. Everybody is going to receive the message of the coming kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ's return. But not everybody is going to act on that message, because it contains an instruction to change their ways and to repent. And as a consequence, Israel's isolation in the world, as pictured by those flags that we talked about at the beginning, is only the beginning of sorrows. At the moment, Israel seems to be rather isolated. I'm talking about Britain, America, and Judah. But that's only the beginning of sorrows. Let's read Psalm 83, verses 4 to 8. And they said, come, and this is generally, we're talking of the nations in the world today. And they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel shall be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Ashur is also joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot. So these nations, most of you recognize, are largely the nations which surround the land of Judah or Israel in the Middle East today. Are they antagonistic towards Israel? Yes. Are they antagonistic towards Britain and America? Yes. However, beyond the coming troubles ahead for Israel lies our time of greatest glory, far surpassing the glories of the British Empire, even at its very peak. Israel is the only nation in the world which was founded by a sovereign act of God. Let's prove that. Turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and verse 1, 2, and verse 7. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred and thy father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And truly that has been the case. Israel has generally been a blessing to this world. And in verse 7, And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto your seed I will give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now God never forgot his promises. He never forgot the promises that he would bless Israel. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 49, verse 22 to 26, and I'm reading it in the NIV, the New International Version. It says this, Joseph is a fruitful vine, near a spring whose branches climb over the wall, Isn't that what happened to Ephraim and to Manasseh, which is America? He spread out over the nations of the world, as it were, over the different continents. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. And that's happened, and we've seen it happen today. Remember the Twin Towers. But his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the Mighty One, of Jacob, because of the Shepherd, the Rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and the womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince amongst his brothers. So these were blessings that will be given to Ephraim and to Manasseh. And truly they became two of the greatest nations this world has ever seen. Ephraim became the United Kingdom. Manasseh became America. And God's promises came true because of those blessings. So what of future prophecy related to our nation? What these two great nations have been will be as nothing compared to the reunited nation of Israel when Jerusalem will become the capital city of the whole world, from where the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, will reign in great peace and prosperity over all the nations. You know, what we've covered today is only the introduction to our future in God's kingdom. And as a final scripture, I'm going to read today Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. In the future, this is, And many people, which should read nations, many nations shall go up and say, Come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge amongst the nations. So Jesus Christ will rule from Jerusalem, and he will judge amongst all the nations of this world. And he will rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war any more. For the first time, the United Kingdom will be truly united. And what happens next, according to your Bible, is even more exciting. And what's more, if you're not a physical Israelite by descent, you can learn how you too can become part of God's family and carry God's way to your own nation in God's kingdom. Thank you for listening.